If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Hey, Reggie, how you doing, my friend? What do you say we do a little podcast, huh? Yeah, episode 525. 525. 10 years and 525 podcasts. What do you think about that, Reg? Not bad. You haven't been here for all of them, but you've been here for a good number of them. So thank you, my friend, for your diligent work and for staying awake. Because you hitting that button is the key to this. You don't hit that button, I might be talking to myself. I don't know. But at least I know it's recorded. So thank you, sir. Anyway, but it's been a pleasure. And I want to once again thank you so much for all your diligent work. 525 episodes. Do you even remember when you started? Yeah, I mean, you know, because at the time, who would have thought? But here you are, still here. So good for you. And good for me. You've been a valuable asset. Thank you, sir. All right, what do you say we get started here? I'll give you the three S's. I'll give you a countdown, and I'll give you episode 525. That's my promise to you. All right, here we go. Whether it'll be entertaining or not, that's for the listeners to decide. But I'm holding up my end of the bargain. All right, okay, Reg. Here we go. Ready? Star, smile strong, and here, 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcasts. We are there. And of course, it's always good to listen, but hopefully through the years, you've also gone out there and spread the word, told your friends, told your family, members, anybody who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast has been and is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. That loyalty and devotion, believe me, has meant so much to me over these last 10 years. So thank you so much. And of course, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and you can hear podcasts that we have done in the past, from last week to 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. They don't have, I'm sure all 10 years live somewhere. But not on this this server, I guess. I don't know if they're out in the ether somewhere. I've got them all somewhere and files. I don't know where they live. But at least recent ones over the last couple 3 years will keep you busy. So do that if you want to hear where we've been, so you always know where we're going. And right now we are going to episode 525. Yeah, it's a nice sort of it's not a round number, but it's a nice we as I said many times, we love to commemorate anything with fives and zeros at the end, and 525. That's a pretty good number, don't you think? And yes, May 24th, 2016. 10 years of talking to you on this podcast, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. 10 years and counting now. We've gone past the 10-year mark, and I thought it would be fun to reminisce a little. I mean, 10 years, that's a good haul. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think I'd be doing this podcast for 10 years. In fact, when I started doing the podcast in 2016, podcasts were around, certainly, and they were gaining some momentum. But in the last 10 years, podcasts have basically taken over the one of the main communication platforms, podcasts. Everybody's got one now. It is so simple. It is so easy. You just get the equipment is not expensive. It's not hard to record. It's not hard to post, clearly, when you see some of the people that do it. But now, you name it, and people have podcasts. It's I guess the podcast popularity grew out of people listening to podcasts, and then everybody getting involved in putting up TikTok or Instagram videos. And when they figured that, well, if I could do that, then why don't I just do a podcast? And then they were seeing some of what, you know, at the beginning, podcasts were very niche and very specific. I mean, the ones that gained some of the early popularity were these true crime podcasts and, you know, niche topics. And that was kind of the whole idea. I mean, if you remember back in the late 90s and early 2000s, when the podcast really began to gain some awareness, not just acceptance, but awareness, it was very difficult in terms of, I mean, relatively, to do it, and you needed equipment and a studio and things like that. But now, as I said many times, the capabilities that we have with our phone are just almost, they're not completely limitless, but they're pretty close. And so not only did podcasts, they were kind of the second cousin to the blog in the whole kind of evolutionary process of this whole social media and, I guess, personal media kind of platform. It started with the blog. And then it turned into, in some people, it was a vlog. It was a video blog. But then the term podcast just, basically, today's podcasts are video blogs. I mean, most times, people that do these now, they do construct the podcast in a video form, much like an interview show. Most podcasts today, unfortunately, have veered away from what made them initially interesting. You had people that were literally trying to convey some knowledge and information to people on specific topics, people that were knowledgeable themselves and felt like they wanted to share that information with people and felt that there was probably an audience for that, even though it may have seemed niche when you go out to the whole world. What is niche anymore, right? And so, as I said, there were these very topic-specific podcasts that first came out, or they were these expanded video blogs. Or in my case, when I started doing this in 2016, basically what I was viewing this podcast as was an extension of what I was doing at the time on the radio. In 2016, I was filling in fairly regularly, not just for Dean Richards, who I filled in for many years, more than 10, as almost his primary fill-in for many years. But I was also filling in different slots in the WGN schedule. And so basically, but you know, that wasn't a regular thing. And so the way I approached the podcast, and the way a lot of people did initially, if they weren't doing these kind of very specific one topic kind of things, like I said, like unsolved crimes or true crimes or whatever it may be, even though I only had an hour, I set up the format initially like a mini radio show. I had an opening, which I had until just about a year ago, until there were some copyright problems with audio. I don't know how they found out I was out there, but anyway. But, you know, I had an opening, and I did two or three topics within each podcast. A lot of times I had several guests, so I designed it like a mini radio show in small bites, basically because that was kind of the medium at the time. Radio was still dominant, and people were still used to that 10 years ago. Now, as I said, that has completely changed. Podcasts, first of all, which were initially like this one, which has always been an audio-only podcast. Podcasts started as audio only, really. As I said, there were video blogs, and that's where kind of the video podcast. Now, when you think of a podcast, I would say 99% of the podcasts are video. And that's mainly because everybody is a narcissist. And very few people are broadcasters who are doing them. I am old school. You know that. If you've listened to me for any period of time, if you've gone back since episode one, you know, I enjoy the medium of radio. I enjoy the medium or the profession or the craft of broadcasting. And today, most podcasts, and look, I'm not putting them down. People love them. People listen to them. But they have certainly strayed from the original concept to some extent. I guess the original podcast, concept was using the internet and using your computer. You could record a quote-unquote show about something. Now, what it's evolved, or you can argue devolved into, is basically most podcasts, while some of them are still deal with a certain kind of weekly topic in one genre of things, most of the time now it is like a mini TV talk show. That's what a podcast has become. They are video. They always have a guest. And then it's just kind of two people talking. The advantage, of course, is that there is no time limit on a podcast, so you can get away with that, which is nice. You're not restricted by commercials. If you do a podcast for an hour, you could fill an hour with content, not with commercials. So certainly there are some advantages now in that platform, in the way it's evolved. Now, once again, from the other side of the coin is what's happened is not only is it some kind of a niche thing where someone's grandmother has a podcast or somebody's doing something kind of offbeat or something. Now, of course, in a completely revamped entertainment world, you know, we have seen that many A-list and primetime celebrities who at one time were dominant in broadcast television have now decided to conquer the podcast world, broadcast television or broadcast radio. But mostly it's been, you know, I mean, there were a few initial ones. The most famous podcast to have really exploded and become multi-million dollar enterprises were Adam Carolla, who are still on, who had a radio career and was able to segue into the podcast early on, and obviously Joe Rogan, who was a television personality, an actor, a comedian, and who started a podcast, and it just grew into. He leveraged his popularity and his notoriety from the Fear Factor show. Remember that show, which I think has come back now with Johnny Knoxville, but it hasn't really made the same impact as how many network shows do anymore. But Fear Factor was a huge, huge television show 20, 30 years ago with Joe Rogan as host. And remember, people would do crazy, outlandish stunts or tasks, a lot of times eating different things and things you'd never think of digesting. And it was more of a gross out show, but hey, you know, that's entertainment today. So he obviously leveraged that along with, he appeared in that show, News Radio. He was a stand-up comic who had a good, following. And so he leveraged that into this podcast. And, you know, he now is viewed as the leading, most influential podcaster in the world, which is crazy to think. You'd never have thought that Joe Rogan would have been that person, but he is now, interviewing presidents and newsmakers and influencing people and influencing elections and policies and things like that. And so he's done an amazing job. As I said, Adam Carolla did a very good job of leveraging his notoriety as a TV star, as a stand-up comic, and as a radio personality. And now we see people like Dana Carvey and David Spade leveraging their notoriety and success in films, and obviously both of them working on Saturday Night Live together. Friends, chemistry, they have that in common. Conan O'Brien has really reinvented himself. He could have been off and in a footnote. He had the very successful late night show on NBC, but he had a very short-lived and controversial tenure at the Tonight Show that didn't even last a year. He went to TBS and did a talk show there, which was more of a kind of a soft landing pad. It was there, but it didn't really break any new ground. It didn't get the ratings that his original show did. But you would have thought that that may have been the end of him, and he then leveraged that Team Coco popularity that he had, being on television for more than 30 years, and brought it to the podcast world, video-wise, of course. And now he's one of the leading podcasters. He just sold the rights to it for hundreds of millions of dollars, and we've seen other people, women talking about women's issues and taboo subjects and sex now become big deals in the podcast world. So podcasts have certainly changed in the last 10 years. There's no question. And they've become a video thing. They've become ubiquitous, meaning that they are almost everywhere. Everyone has them. Everybody now is fighting and putting themselves out there as a host of this, as reviewing food, as reviewing movies, reviewing television, reviewing books. Everybody has now become their own media star. It's been a shocking evolution. But once again, it was all made possible by technology. Now you can argue that it's more open to anybody, and that's great, and everybody can go speak their mind. But at the same time, we've seen the downside of everybody speaking their mind. Not only do we have a very divided and partisan world, at least country in the United States, but then there's so much. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody's talking about something every minute of the day, that it's almost, it's overload. It's content overload. And now it's almost becoming white noise. And as I've said many times, you've got, celebrities still on regular television. Like I said, Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon hosting of all these late night shows. They're basically also, they are not just competing against each other anymore. They're competing to find a good 3-minute segment from their hour show that will go viral and that can compete with somebody on a skateboard or some grumpy cat or something. I mean, that's like Johnny Carson. I know that's a name that many people might not even be aware of anymore. I mean, Johnny's been off television for 30 years. Even though he was on television for another 30. But it would be like a multi-million-dollar entertainer is competing for attention and visibility and, I guess, talent and the quality of content with somebody in their backyard who's eating 45 boiled eggs. I mean... So some people say it's evolved. I would say that devolved could be a little more accurate when you look at what we have available and what we could do with it and what we are doing with it. As I've said many times, the standard for entertainment value and talent now has been diluted because there are people that are with no experience who are clicking a button, and whether five people watch them or not, they're still taking up space. They're still out there adding to the white noise. And as I said, when I started the podcast, I looked at it as kind of a complementary platform to the work that I was doing on the radio. And my ultimate goal was to hopefully show the powers that be at the station that based on what I was doing on the podcast, that maybe I could hopefully get something more permanent, full-time, or regular show on the radio itself. As I said, I'm still old school. I still value and appreciate and prefer the radio, meaning live radio. I enjoy doing the podcast. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've done it for 10 years, and I've been able to talk about whatever I've wanted to talk about for as long as I wanted to talk about and say whatever I've wanted and talk about it with whomever I wanted. So the freedom is undeniable. And I've enjoyed it. But the one part that to me is the most appealing and why I wanted to get into radio when I was a 12-year-old and what I miss and which the podcast cannot do for me to some extent. Yes, I know I could do a live podcast, I'm sure, but you know, that's a whole other technology thing going. And you know, once again, you know, there's something to me, there's something about being in a radio studio with a 50,000 watt powerful station and transmission signal behind that microphone you're on, where people can catch you by deliberately tuning you in or catch you by mistake, by accident, as they're going down the dial. In a podcast, there's no, you know, there's more appointment. You're logging into something. You're finding it on Google. You know, think about how many times, you know, if people even use the radio anymore in their car, but, you know, remember hitting all those buttons and you didn't know what song you're going to find next, but you enjoyed the hunting. And I guess I'm old school. Maybe I'm old fashioned. Maybe I'm out of touch. I don't know. But I have always preferred this medium. I enjoy the audio side of it. I enjoy the mystery of it as well, not just the immediacy of it or the coverage of it, you know, the amount of people that you could reach at one time. But as I said, but I miss the immediacy of it. I miss taking calls. I miss talking live. I record these a couple of days before they post, sometimes 2 or 3 days before they post. So something has happened. A lot of times when I can't really, you know, or if I want to talk about this subject right now, I would love to be able to talk to you right now. But, you know, we're recorded. So I enjoy the coverage that the radio provides, the broadcasting, as opposed to a podcast that in many ways is narrow casting. I enjoy the broadness, the wide range that the actual signal gains. Technology-wise, I enjoy the immediacy and the urgency and the live aspect of it, that we are both talking and listening to each other in real time. You know, I miss that. And I also just, I miss the mystery. You might know what I look like, but you don't know what I'm wearing right now. In the old days, when you listened to the radio, you never really knew what the disc jockey or the radio personality looked like. Now, obviously, that hasn't been the case for many years. But back in the 60s and 70s, it was the voice And people would say you, then they, people would see the DJ in person and go, wow, I didn't expect you to look like that. Either good or bad, I guess. But it was the voice. It was the voice that grabbed you. And it was the content that grabbed you. Today, in a podcast, most podcasts, as I said, are video, because most people are narcissists and they want to be seen. They want to be, you know, they want to be on TV, even though it's really not, but don't tell them that. So a podcast today is really a hybrid of radio and television. When it started, it was really kind of a hybrid, or it was really an extension of radio. But now it's been a hybrid of radio and television. I've always treated it like an extension of radio. That's what it was 10 years ago when I started. And over the last 10 years, I haven't changed it at all. And I'm sure when you go on the WGN website and the podcast section, most of the people have video podcasts. I haven't gone through all of them, but I would assume almost all of them, except maybe not mine. It might be the only one. I don't even know. But that's not done by accident. That's been done by design. I'm still old school in that. Maybe that makes me a relic. Maybe that makes me a dinosaur. But I enjoyed the mystery of radio. I enjoyed the anonymity of radio. I enjoyed the imagination of radio. You had to imagine what the disc jockey or the radio personality looked like, or what they were doing. And from the performer's standpoint, you really had to make sure with just your voice and the sound of your voice, the cadence of your speaking, the clarity of your speaking manner and style, and your ability to directly communicate in a clear way so people could understand you and convey that in an interesting and engaging and charismatic and magnetic way for people to just want to listen. I mean, we all know, and I've said many times, we are a visual society. There's no question about that. The podcast has proven that. The podcast didn't become or didn't take off like it has now until it started to become more of a video platform as opposed to just an audio. When it became a video thing, that's when people started to get more into it. And so and that's when it became a mass audience kind of platform. Radio has, at one time, certainly when there was no television, when there's no video pictures involved, radio then, of course, was the mass communications system, right? In the 20s and 30s and 40s. But by the time the 50s came, and certainly by the time the 60s came, television was making its mark. And that's why you saw a lot of the TV shows that were on early television were basically reboots of radio programs that were popular with Jack Benny and George Burns and Arthur Godfrey and people like that. They were popular on the radio. They had a built-in audience. So when television came, that's the first place that the networks went. Well, who's got an audience? Who's going to draw people in? And so those radio programs became visual. Much like podcasts started as audio only, whenever there is an advancement or a capability to take anything to the video stage, it always goes there technology-wise, and it's always then becomes the dominant aspect or the dominant conveyance or the dominant platform, the video aspect of anything, because we are a visual beings. We are visual. But to me, that's what always made radio so much more interesting and intriguing and evocative. I grew up as a listener, and as an adult, I wound up being somebody who was on the other side. And I remember being on the other side, listening. And so when I'm broadcasting to you, when I'm talking to you now, I'm not just sitting around with my legs up. I'm thinking. I'm practicing a craft and a style that I have been developing for many decades. I just didn't click this on and say, oh, I'm going to start talking. That's what's going on today. And that's why you hear a lot of, you know, horrible, you know, grammar, people just talking like they do because they're not trained. This used to be a profession. This used to be a craft. And the podcast has done away with that. But what I've tried to do for the last 10 years is at least stick to a lot of those traditional tenets and those traditional building blocks and foundations that made and make, to me, radio such an interesting and exciting medium. We're talking to each other, but we're not seeing each other. So we're both wondering what's going on that other side. I'm wondering if you're out there. I'm wondering who you are, and you're wondering, well, what am I doing? Where is he doing this from? What is he wearing? What does he look like? Whatever it may be. But then, as I said before, to me, I enjoy doing it because it's a challenge without a video screen to make this engaging and informative and interesting and charismatic that you want to, and hopefully, in the manner of which I talk, makes this interesting to you so that you want to keep listening. I'm talking to you for an hour, pretty straight. That's a long time to have one-sided conversation. So I hope that I've kept you awake for the last 10 years. I hope you listen to the whole podcast because a lot of times there's some great stuff at the very end, but trust me. because I'm using this as a conversation. And while I have an idea of what I want to talk about, I've never had a script. I've had a rundown of what's next, you know, for especially when I've had guests on and times and things like that. But to talk about any topic, I have a couple of notes scribbled down, and this is mostly 99% of this off the top of my head. So sometimes, as I've joked so many times that, oh, I've digressed, that's because I've digressed. But what I've tried to do is make it as real as possible, as relatable as possible, as interesting as possible, as oddball at times as possible, as topical as possible. And ultimately, I've tried to make it as fun as possible. And hopefully, that's why if you've been listening to me for 10 years or for 10 days or whatever it may be, I appreciate you finding this podcast every week. After 10 years, it has been something that I have always taken very seriously. I don't know how many of you are out there on a regular basis. I've never really been told that every once in a while, but it's been a long time. So I don't know if I'm talking to 5 of you or 5,000 of you or 500,000 of you. I really don't know. But you know what? I don't really care because the goal of this is to make, is obviously to talk to as many people as possible, as to as many people as possible listening to it. But the content of it, the tone of it, the actual podcast itself, I've always said, my goal is to make this as if I am talking just to you. And you, who are listening right now, you know who you are. But as I said, when I started, it was a much different format, and things changed out of necessity as well as out of design. As I said, initially for the first couple of years, I did this like a mini radio show, and I would have guests, and I had a producer, and we set things up and things like that. Now I have Reggie, who helps me, but he's more of an engineer than anything else. And And there's also other people at the radio station as well that help to edit and to post things. I have to say that I've worked with a lot of people over the last 10 years, producer-wise, engineer-wise. And I've worked with somebody over the last several years. His name is Ben Anderson. He works at WGN Radio. And I have to say that he has made this process of recording this, which could be complicated at times, very smooth, very seamless, and almost effortless. And he has been a true professional in every way. I love you, Reggie. Don't get me wrong. You're here hitting the button, and I love that about you. But Ben has also been out there, you know, editing things and posting it and making sure it's there on time for you folks. And he has been professional and dependable and diligent and detail-oriented. And so thank you, Ben Anderson, for your great work on the podcast for so many years. Not at the very beginning, but certainly for the last several. And I feel bad about that, too. You know, I went through so many different engineers and producers over the years that it got to be kind of funny after a while. I'm like, Jim, oh, by the way, this person either is going and doing something else, or this person has left the station, or whatever it may be. And so I would be given a new person and have to explain what I do and how I do it and the process and da-da-da. And once again, Ben Anderson has been so adaptable. It's been very smooth and very seamless, and it's been a pleasure to work with you, Ben. So thank you so much for all of your professionalism and your diligence over the last several years of this podcast. But it's been 10 years. I've worked with a lot of people. As I said, when I started, I treated this like a mini radio show. And so I used to have regular people on all the time with different regular segments. I used to have sports people on. There's a local sports announcer named Mark Vasco, who I used to have on. You know that I've spoken very much about listen to me. I make sure that I speak good grammar, right? Okay. but I've spoken with for many times, both on the radio here and on the podcast. A very good friend of mine, a radio friend of mine from when I was in college. I just spoke about him a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about how my college radio station had shut down recently, Mick Kaler. I used to have my godson, Patrick Minogon, doing the Millennial Meter. this was something that, you know, millennials, now Gen Z and Gen Y have taken over. I feel sorry for the millennials. COVID really did you guys, a knockout punch there. The millennials were dominating the culture, and so I always was having Patrick come on every week or so, and we would talk about, he's a millennial, he's like 40 years old now, but back when he was in his early 20s and early 30s and mid-30s, I would have him on to discuss, well, what's cool and what isn't? What should I be doing? And what I shouldn't be doing. And that was called the Millennial Meter with my godson, Patrick Minogue. And then, of course, for many years, I had Emily Arminetti. We talk about pop culture. I worked with Emily when I worked at a public relations firm, and she was on my team, one of my team members. And we always kept in touch, and we always had fun bonding over pop culture. And so when I wanted to talk about pop culture on a regular basis, and Mick Kaler couldn't do it on a weekly basis anymore, Emily was the first person I called, and so we did that for several years, 4 or 5 years at least. And then when COVID hit, it really changed the way that the whole podcast was kind of put together, because I couldn't go down to the studio. I had to record all those podcasts at home, or at a remote studio sometimes, and then. You know, Emily has two kids, and so she didn't have the amount of time that she would have because of, what was going on, of watching her kids. Kids were home from school and things like that. So ultimately, it came a little difficult to coordinate things. And I would say so for the last 5 years since COVID, I've been basically doing this show on my own with one sort of topic to talk about and really just having fun doing it that way. I've enjoyed all the different incarnations, and I think it's always important for any kind of creative venture and project to reinvent itself and change. So while some of this stuff was done by necessity, it's also, from a creative standpoint, it's also been reinvigorating. As I said, I started it out as a radio show with guests and times and topics and very kind of structured. And then it got a little looser with a couple of every so often having a few guests and a few dedicated topics and a few regular segments. And then it became a topic and a segment. And now it's just been me talking to you for whatever's on my mind. And I've enjoyed every one of them. Obviously, I've enjoyed the freedom of the last several years of just being able to talk about something that's happened in my life or what I've noticed happening around the world or some of the craziness about me. I've tried to take some of the initial extensions of what I've done on the radio when I first got on WGN Radio, working with Gary Meyer in the afternoon from 2009 to 2014, and then the last 10 years or so, working regularly as a semi-regular on Dean Richards' show and also filling in for him on the radio, both of those on the radio. And then this, as I said, being a complement to that of then being able to just kind of say what's on my mind and share with you parts of my personality, parts of the Elton Jim personality, as well as the Jim Toronto personality. Yeah, there's a lot floating around in that head, folks. And so that's been the goal for the last 10 years, is to make this. But the common thread through it all has always been keep it interesting, keep it original, keep it fun. And I hope I've been able to do that, whether the show's been very structured, whether it's been very, segmented, or if it's been like this, very freeform, where I'm just kind of talking, digressing, but always coming back to my main point, even though within an hour conversation, I might bring up four or five different topics. I always have a main topic. And hopefully you learned how to listen to me for a while. And as I said, that's not an affectation. That's not fake. That's reality. That's authentic. I mean, I should add one more word to that common thread, authenticity. I have never made up anything that I've told you here. Anything that's happened to me, when I talk about this just happened to me last week, it happened to me. I wasn't adding stuff to it. This wasn't a comedy bit. This was real life, me sharing what happened to me. And that's, as I said before, that's what I kind of miss. Not just kind of, that's what I do miss, is when I'm talking about some of these things, especially some of these personal things, I would love to get a reaction at the moment I'm sharing those and share those with you, and maybe you being able to share those with me. And that's what, sadly, the podcast, you know, there's the limitations of it. It's great creative freedom on my part, but I miss the interaction. That's what made me want to get into radio as a 12-year-old kid. I enjoyed listening to those people. They were sharing information with me. They were sharing excitement with me. They were sharing music with me. They were sharing opinions with me. And I was like, wow, I would love to be able to do that. I enjoyed receiving that. And I also felt that I could also deliver that. What I should mention, too, is, you know, not only that's how did I get to the podcast. I mean, basically, I started the podcast and got the podcast because after the radio show with Gary Meyer was taken off the air at WGN, we were off for about a year from a contractual situation. But then after that contract was up in 2015, I started to regularly do fill-ins again on WGN and, you know, leveraging my my work and the and whatever audience I was able to build, or at least my notoriety from the Gary Meyer show, and building that as a frequent fill-in host. And then, in a great opportunity, Dean Richards, who was always a fan of mine when I was working with Gary, and if people listen to the Gary Meyer show on WGN when we were on from 2009 to 2014, you know that the last several years of the show, especially when we got into the afternoons, Dean came on every week and did a entertainment section, much like he does with Bob Surratt now in the morning. But he did that with us. And so Dean and I got to know each other, and we got to have a nice chemistry. And so when the show with Gary was done, and I was kind of just floating around on my own, Dean was kind enough to say, hey, I'd love to have you come on, and you know, we have a good chemistry. And I've been very proud and very happy of what we, Dean and I, were able to do as a, we weren't a team or per se, but when we were on together, I thought we had a very good, very easy, very fun, very entertaining chemistry. It was a little edge to it, and I think the audiences really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed being associated with Dean for those 10 years, both on his show on a regular basis, doing the live remotes at Tree Time and other places, and then obviously being his main fill-in for almost those the 10 years of that as well. And so it's been an interesting journey. If you think about it, starting at WGN, I've been associated either working full-time when I was on the afternoon drive show every day with Gary for 5.5 years, as well as being associated with the station as a fill-in, as a semi-regular with Dean for 10 years, and now doing this podcast for 10 years. It was more than 10 years. It was like 11 years with Dean. I've been associated or worked for or associated with WGN from 2009. So that's 17 years. I can't believe it that it's been 17 years, but it's been 17 years. And once again, having grown up in Chicago and listening to Chicago radio, all types of radio, music radio, talk radio, obviously WGN. If you've lived in the city for any kind of period of time, it has been one of the constants in this city. It's been around for more than 100 years. It, you know, I used to listen to WGN when it broadcast television, or the Cub games. You had Wally Phillips, and you had, that was dominant for many years. And there's a guy named Bill Berg, my dad used to listen to all the time. And then obviously later, Bob Collins and Spike Odell. And the list goes on. And I was very proud and am very proud of the work that Gary and I did as the afternoon drive. We started as a midday from like 10 to 1, I think it was, for about a year in 2029 or 2009. And then in 2010, we got the afternoon show, and we did that until the end of 2014. So about 5.5 years total. It was really a great privilege and honor and just a thrill to be on the hometown station, one of the most historic stations in all of radio history, especially in the United States, one of the pioneering radio stations in history, and to have been to have been on that station and to have succeeded. We did very well in that afternoon show, highest rated talk show in the afternoon when we were on, and still be associated with it in some way, and to work with people like Gary Meyer and Orion Samuelson and Dean Richards and some of the other people at WGN that have been there through the years. Bill Leff, I remember being on his show quite a bit and filling in for and being on with John Williams and Milt Rosenberg, and the names go on, and many of them are still there. Bob Surratt, who is still there. So some legends of radio in Chicago, as well as legends of WGN. I was very fortunate to have been there when WGN still, and when radio still had a major impact. Unfortunately, like I said, it's been diluted in the last 10 or 15 years, or 10 years, I would say. But when we were on, it was still a very strong and powerful medium, and to have been on that radio station Wow, what a thrill. And I've been lucky in that I have been on most of the radio stations that I grew up listening to. I should mention that, you know, you say, well, how did you get started in this? So that's how I got to the podcast. And I've touched on this through the years, but I should, while I'm kind of reminiscing about this the whole time, I should say, back in 1981, on Easter of 1981, I always, as I was a young kid, I listened to the radio. As I said, I was an only child. I watched a lot of television. I listened to a lot of radio. I loved sports. I listened to sports on the radio, and I loved music. And that's where I got most of my musical education, by listening to various music radio stations up and down the dial. And so as I grew up listening to the radio and realized that, boy, that's kind of a cool thing to do. And I like to talk, as I said many times, I always got good grades in school, but I also, those good grades were always offset by the part at the bottom of the report card that said, you know, behavioral things. I was never a bad kid, but I always got talks too much. So when I got time to start thinking about a career, I thought, well, if I am always in trouble for talking too much, maybe I should try to find a way to make money at it or make a career out of it. And so that was one of the reasons why I did it, as well as I just enjoy sharing information. That's why I got into the media. Anybody who's a reporter, we enjoy sharing our interests, sharing our passions, and sharing our information with others. I don't know why. I don't know how it developed, but it just seems like any of my friends in the media, whether it's print, radio, or television, we all share that. We have an instant bond. Some people you may never even have known before. And I've been lucky in that a lot of the people that I listened to and that were influences on me, I got a chance to meet and work with, which is a rare opportunity. But so ever since I was 12, I thought I wanted to do this. And when I was in high school, I knew I wanted to do it. And in 1981, I used to listen to The Loop, WLUP, 97.9 FM. If you didn't listen to The Loop, I don't know what you were doing. I had my Loop t-shirt and you know, coho lips and Loop pins and Loop bumper stickers and you name it. You know, Sky Daniels and the whole crew there. And obviously Stephen Gary, back in the original days, but there was a contest that they had for a while, and it was called the Chicago Star. And the whole idea of this was that it's very much like a podcast. Talk about, you know, 40 some years ahead of their game. The whole idea was that for an hour on the loop, they let a listener host their own radio show, a music show, since it was The Loop. And so you had to write a letter and explain why you wanted to be the Chicago Star. And it was on Sunday nights at about 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, once a week. And it was people that were listeners that got a chance to play music and be and introduce the songs and talk about different things for an hour. Well, I mean, from my standpoint, I'm this radio wannabe I've known since 12, but I've never really been on the radio hosting like that. I'd been on television in certain little things like that, but never, and I used to call radio stations and I would talk to the DJs when they would put you on. Sometimes the DJs would have you come on and like request a song, and I would always do that. So I got the kick out of the rush out of that from an early age as a preteen and a teenager, but I never really sat behind the mic and done that. My high school didn't have a radio station, so I wasn't able to do that. I used to do a lot of PA things at my high school, basketball announcing and things like that, but never like this on the radio, talking, introducing, running a board, or things that, you know, that go into doing a radio show. And so here was this chance. on the station that I listen to all the time, that plays the music that I listen to all the time, and has the personalities, the Sky Daniels and the Stephen Garys and the Bob Strouds and all these people. So I wrote a letter in, and there was a production guy and a DJ named Matt Bisbee. And he still is online. I see Matt's name. He was a very nice guy and a really good disc jockey. I really loved his musical tastes. And I used to listen to Matt Bisbee all the time on the loop when he was on. But he was in charge of this contest for some reason. And so I wrote him a letter and explained why I should be the Chicago Star and what music I would play and whatever. I don't remember the letter. But I do remember coming home from one of my high school baseball games during the week, and my mom saying, "Did you write something to the loop?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And she says, "Because somebody from the loop called, and they said that they want to have you come down to the station on Saturday, this week Saturday." And I think it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday when I got the call. And they said that, or maybe it was a week in advance, I'm not sure. But they said to come back on this date and to come down to the studio. That was at that time, the Loop Studios were at the in the Hancock building, and record your Chicago Star show. I mean, oh my God, I didn't know what to say. I called back. I think I spoke to Matt Bisbee, and we're all set to go. There was this guy who was an intern at the time. His name was Don Dockman. I don't know whatever happened to Don Dockman. He was Dr. Don Dockman. But he helped me too. I think he was an intern there. I'm not sure, but he worked with this along with Matt, and they had me on. And my mom went down there with me. I didn't have a driver's license yet, even though I was 17, because I'd always been playing sports, so I couldn't go to driver's ed. So I didn't have my license yet, and so I went downtown with my mom, and I recorded the Chicago Star program, which I still have on an audio tape. I probably should find a way to digitize it, so I have it. It's on a cassette tape. But and I played some of my favorite songs, and I've listened to that tape, and my musical tastes at 17 were pretty good, I have to say. The music I was playing at 17, I'm still playing today, and it's still great. So I'm pretty proud of that. But yeah, so I was the Chicago Star in 1981. I even had to miss a baseball game for it. I put that in front of my high school baseball games. That's how important this was. And I've been fortunate. I had an internship at WXRT when I was in college. And I worked in the morning show with Terry Hemmert, who I listened to every day. And was a big fan of Terry Hemmert, who was also a graduate and alumni of Elmhurst College and of WRSE, the same station that I was on then later. And I worked on her morning show with Charlie Meyerson and Neil Parker, mainly Charlie Meyerson, writing the news for his newscasts every morning. And I got a great, great experience working with there and hanging out at XRT for 3 months, which was three blocks from my house at the time. XRT was the at that time in the mid-80s. Now, that was the coolest station there was. The Loop, sadly, had lost its kind of edge there. And now I was listening to XRT. That was the music I was listening to. And so I got the chance to hang out at the old Belmont Studios at XRT for 3 months. And I saw some of those people that were there, like Frankie Lee and Lynn Bramer and Johnny Mars. And as I said, Terry Hemmert and Marty Leonard's and some of the others. And I got to actually be on the radio. My last day of my internship, Charlie Meyerson let me do a little report, and I explained how I felt like I was the luckiest man in the world to be working at WXRT and how I was looking forward to a high-paying radio job. And I actually quoted the Lou Gehrig, "I feel like I'm the luckiest man in the world to have been able to work here at WXRT for the last 3 months." Sadly, I never got a chance to work at the station. I would have loved to, but at least I was able to work there for 3 months and actually be on the air at WXRT. So I'm still a part of that history as well, as part of the Loop's history. And then later on, I hosted, I worked on the WMVP, AM 1000, which was the Loop. And I was a regular contributor to Gary Meyer's solo show in the mid-90s for a year until that was taken off. And then I worked for about 3 years after that as a regular contributor every week with Kevin Matthews. So I was able to be on the Loop, AM and FM side. Once again, I grew up on the listening to the Loop. I got into radio because of listening to the Loop, and also WDAI, which is how I discovered Steve Dahl. I used to listen to a station named WDAI, which was a very cool rock station, and that's where Steve came from. When he came from Detroit, he came to WDAI, so that's how I first discovered Steve. And then he went to the Loop, and I followed him there, and then he hooked up with Gary, and the rest is history. But for somebody that wanted to get into radio and listen to Chicago radio, I was able to work with people like Terry Hemmert and Charlie Meyerson and Neil Parker for a while. I was able to work with some of the most talented, legendary people in Chicago radio, like Kevin Matthews and Gary Meyer. I was in the studio when Steve and Gary got together on WCKG for two shows. It was just the three of us. It was like me being in the Hall of Fame with these guys. I couldn't believe that I was in the same studio with them. Just the three of us in that studio. Steve, Gary, and Jim. Once again, like a kid in a candy store. Always a great memory. That was on WCKG, but still. It was bringing back shockwaves of when I was, you know, a 13 or 14-year-old kid listening to these two guys. And here I was, sitting in a room with them, doing radio with them, playing off of them, making jokes with them. It was almost surreal. As I said, I got a chance to work with and get to know Johnny B. I interviewed Jonathan Brandmeier, you know, through my college radio show. I started to write a music column in the early to mid 80s. For press publications, newspapers in the western suburbs. It was called Rock Scene. In fact, Mick Kaler started to write that column, and then he stopped writing it and recommended me, and that's how I started to write it for about 7 or 8 years. And I interviewed Jonathan Brandmeier, because I was such a big Johnny B fan, who wasn't in the mid-80s, for my Rock Scene column, and got a chance to work with John, to meet Johnny and talk with him. And then he worked at WGN in the morning. And in fact, he made his announcement that he's going to be on WGN on Gary's show. So it was me and Gary and Johnny B in the same studio for a while. So how crazy was that? And then, as I said, I got to work with Bob Surratt, who I always listen to on WLS. BS, you know, and John Landecker at WGN, who I listen to with Boogie Checks. So I've been very fortunate to have been working with many of the people at many of the stations that I grew up listening to. And so it's been a crazy, wild ride, and so now here we find ourselves in 2026 in the podcast world, and it's been 10 years doing this. I mean, one of the ways that I got on with Gary and with Kevin was after I wrote for press publications. I worked with them for a while as a reporter, as a straight reporter for a couple of their newspapers, and then for about, I think, almost 6 or 7 years, I was the film columnist and movie and record reviewer for the Illinois Entertainer. And so through that, I was able to be a guest on a lot of radio shows around the city. And that's how I sort of worked my way into the radio from my writing and my music background and my film writing background with the Illinois Entertainer. So it's been a very interesting, it hasn't been a straight line path. It's been a very curvy, detoured path. And so here we are 10 years later. I should mention something for the longtime listeners of this podcast. And that is, you may recall early on that episode 9, I might as well reveal everything here since we're celebrating 10 years. Early on, I would always say what podcast number it was from the beginning. And one day I noticed that 9 was missing. For some reason, we went from 8 to 10. And I'm like, where was 9? Why? What happened to 9? And so someone actually, a listener, brought it to my attention early. I'm like, well, why? What happened to episode 9? And so I went back to look at all of my different papers and rundowns, and I couldn't find anything with a 9. And so it became the lost episode. Where is episode 9? I always said that at one point, you know, that episode 9 got skipped in the rotation, but one day I would bring back the missing episode. But it's always been the episode, the missing episode. Episode 9 was the missing episode. And so I should tell you right now, there was no missing episode. I just screwed up. I went from 8 to 10. I don't know why. The dates, I looked at the dates, the whatever the date was for episode 8. The next week, I put 10 down on my sheet, and we started, and the count just continued to go. So here's a fun fact for you. And only you and I know this, but I have always been honest with you, even though I've held this secret for many, many years. Episode 9, the lost episode, was never lost. It was never recorded. I was trying to cover up, and so I thought I'd create some little mystique about the missing episode. But the fact is, there wasn't really a missing episode. I just screwed up on the count. I told you I'm always authentic. I never lied to you. But that time, but I did it from a creative standpoint. So here's the funny part. This is not then episode 525. It's really 524. So, I don't know. Do we count it or not? You tell me. But for you longtime listeners who may remember the missing episode, number 9, and it's funny that it turned out to be number nine. But the fact of the matter is, I just counted wrong. So I'm sorry. I wish there was a missing episode, because I basically took the idea from the Honeymooners and the lost episodes. It was the lost episode. It was the missing episode. And I thought I'd create a little mystique. And at one point, I even thought of recording an episode 9 and pretending. But then I was like, well, that is really carrying it. Even though I made up the idea of the lost episode, episode 9, early on, soon after that, I realized that one day I would just come clean. So for all of those of you who have been listening to this podcast for many years and remember this little picadillo, this little moment of the missing episode, of the lost episode, episode number 9, it didn't exist. But it was fun to think that it did exist, wasn't it? Over the last 10 years, I have to say, I've been very fortunate to have had a chance to sometimes interact with you, the listener. Some people have direct messaged me. Some people will have, you know, responded when I always post the episodes on my Facebook page 3 times a week. You'll make a comment about a podcast or something like that. I've met a lot of you in person, especially through remote broadcasts with Dean over the last 10 years, or some people even have come to my theatrical plays, which I thought was very nice. And everybody I've met has always been so kind about the podcast, and they tell me how much that you've enjoyed it. And that really does and has meant a lot to me. So people like Craig and Steven and Scott and Jim and Roberta and James and Mike and Curtis and Kurt. There's a lot of people out there I know there's more, but those are the people that seem to have made have contacted me the most, or that I've met in person. So I want to thank not only those people very specially, especially Craig and Steven have really been two major super fans. So thank you to both. Craig is the guy who's helped me out in a lot of history of this podcast, because I didn't even have kept a lot of very good records, but Craig is a guy that keeps records in more ways than one. So Craig, thank you so much. And Steven as well, thank you for all your comments and your enthusiasm about the podcast. But thank you for everyone over the last 10 years who have listened, whether you've never contacted me, whether I've never met you, but if you've just been listening to this in anonymity, thank you so much. I have done this. Yeah, I've enjoyed doing it. I enjoy doing it. I've enjoyed this since I was a little kid. I've always wanted to talk to people. So I've certainly done it from a very selfish standpoint, as I enjoy sharing and communicating and talking with people and giving my information, sharing my passions and my information and my opinions and whatever's going on. I enjoy that and always have and always will. But I've also am appreciative if you have taken the time over the last 10 years, whether it's been 10 years or 5 years or 2 weeks, for you to have taken the time out of your busy day and your busy schedule to hit this podcast and listen to it on a weekly basis or whatever, whenever at your leisure. And I don't know if you're up to date or not, and that's why I always say go back and listen. But even if you've done it one time, that is a huge compliment. And it means a lot to me, and it has meant a lot to me. And you're the reason that I've continued to do this for 10 years. I haven't missed a week, even though I sort of missed a show, but I didn't. I didn't miss a week. I just missed a number. Now that's going to bug me for a long time. So I guess we should put episode 525 with an asterisk next to it now that we all know. And then underneath it'll say asterisk denotes the fact that there was no ninth episode. It'll be our secret. But anyway, as I said, I've enjoyed working with the people that I've worked with, Mick, Emily, Patrick, Mark, and so many others, guests that I've had on. I've enjoyed talking to you on a regular basis. I hope that I've been able to make it fun and interesting for you every week. I'm sure that sometimes you bailed early. What the hell is he talking about? But hopefully it you didn't bail the next week. Hopefully you always came back to give me a one more shot, and hopefully I was able to redeem myself that next week. Whether it was a story about me calling the man, just call the man, or the concerts I've gone to, or the plays I've done, or the goofiness that has happened to me, or the trips that I've been on, or world events, or music, or movies, whatever it's been, I have tried every week to come up with something original, something creative, something different that would inspire you to take an hour or an hour and a half out of your busy week, out of your busy life, to give a listen. And so if I've been able to do that, then I have done my job. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I've enjoyed doing this for a living. I've always wanted to do it for a living. As I said, the business has changed. I would have loved to have been on the air and talking to you live, but what can you do? I've always said, ultimately, as I said, I've always tried to make this informative and engaging and interesting and creative and original and offbeat and topical and opinionated. I wanted you to always want to feel like you wanted to know what was Jim going to talk about this weekend, or what was Jim going to talk about this week, or what does he have to say about this? That's the goal of every radio personality, is to create that relationship. And even though I haven't met or corresponded with many of you out there, I do feel that at least from my standpoint, I feel you out there. I've felt you out there. I have felt like I am talking to you individually, even though hopefully I've been talking to many, many, many people at the same time. So I hope you have enjoyed this podcast as much as I have. But, you know, I've always ended the podcast by saying, you know, I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. And that's a line from Bruce Springsteen's Rosalita song. I ain't here on business, baby. I'm only here for fun. And so I've always use that as kind of my adage on the radio, that I have never been on the radio for business. I've always been on the radio for fun. That's why I first wanted to do it when I was 12. And that's why I'm still doing it now, 50 years later, in one way or the other. And so for all the information or the entertainment value or the laughs, or the opinions, whether you've agreed with me or not, for all the offbeat things, for everything that this podcast has been, and I don't even know how to describe it except it's a guy talking to other people about stuff. That's the way I would describe it. What's your podcast about? It's about stuff. It's about everyday living. It's about sharing and conveying and laughing at ourselves, being serious at times, getting angry, getting passionate, agreeing, disagreeing. It's about communicating. So I hope at the very least what this podcast has been about for the last 10 years, I hope it's been about relationships, about communicating. I hope it's been about sharing. And ultimately, I hope it's been about fun. I hope at the end of the day, after 10 years, I hope at the very least, I've been able to deliver the fun. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I hope you've had fun these last 10 years. Because I know I have. Thanks for the fun. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast, we are there. And of course, it's good to listen, but get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 525, or is it 524? I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic for 10 years, from the end of my mind to your ears. Thanks for the fun.